Have you ever felt overwhelmed? How about anxious, fearful, or guilt-ridden? Have you ever felt so stressed out that you wanted to crawl into a hole? At times, we've all felt overwhelmed and controlled by the stresses of life. But through the power of the living Word of God and the Holy Spirit, you can put all of those feelings aside and listen to what Jesus has to say. This is a History with God Ministries Godcast Network featuring Frank and Christina Sasso. Visit us online at ahistorywithgod.com for articles, links, prophetic words, prayer requests, and other awesome resources. Be sure to join our mailing list to receive your free daily devotion right in your email every morning. They are sure to comfort, inspire, teach, and even challenge you in your walk with the Lord. And now, let's join the host of this Godcast, Frank Sasso.
Hello, everybody. Welcome, welcome, welcome to our partners, our members, our friends, and any first-time listeners out there. This is Frank Sasso bringing you yet another Godcast. This one is on grace, so I hope you like it. I had a revelation about grace recently. I was actually at work, and I have a little iPod Touch, they're called. It's almost like a tiny iPad. So I typed out this revelation I had on the notebook section of the iTouch, and I put it away, and when I looked back, like a little later, I took it out again, I looked back at it, and I looked at the screen, and it had auto-corrected what I typed in. Like, it auto-corrected my spelling. I guess I was typing fast, and I had no idea what I now meant to say. I mean, I'm sure it was something brilliant, but I want to read to you what it changed to, okay? So I typed in something, I thought it was awesome, I take it back out. It's nothing of what I wrote originally, but it changed it to this. We are completely incapable of unsmiling God's grace. That's what the iPod changed it to. We are completely incapable of unsmiling God's grace. And I'm like, you know, that's kind of cool, actually. And then I started thinking, that should be our response to God's grace, that we're incapable of removing the joy from it. We are completely incapable of removing the joy from God's grace. God's grace has the ability to move us into joy, you know, abundant joy, overflowing joy, always and all the time. But, you know, I didn't always have a hold of grace, though. Sometimes I still don't. But, in fact, I think a lot of us actually have a long way to go in terms of fully grasping, you know, the height and the depth and the width of God's amazing grace for us. I want to share something. Have any of you listening ever been involved with some kind of accountability group? Like, I'm a man, so I'm speaking about, let's say, a men's group, and you have maybe an accountability partner. You have someone who holds you accountable. You have the things that you don't want to do on a little list, and you have a friend who takes your list, and you take his list, and you're supposed to be accountable to him to not do those things. If you've ever been involved in one of those groups, I want you to email me. Go to the website, click contact, and then go to the little box there where you can type. And type in if you've ever been involved in one and if you've ever had one work. Because honestly, those kinds of groups have never worked for me. I had this friend, and we were accountability partners, and we had each other's lists of things that we weren't supposed to do. Here's why they don't work. Those sorts of groups and the practices that go on there, those sorts of agreements that are made with each other are based on fear. Fear is the power that they have because you place yourself under the fear of having to confess this thing on the list to your friend. And that's the thing that's supposed to make you not do it, is that you're afraid to confess it. Now, here's what ended up happening to me and my friend, is that we would both fail miserably, and we got so used to confessing to each other that it didn't matter anymore. There was no fear associated with a confession, you know, so it was like, yeah, screwed up again this week, how about you? Yeah, well, maybe better luck next week. Yeah, you too. I mean, you might as well have had been on your own without any help, okay? So, and in fact, one time, listen to this, one time, I saw my friend, we were just hanging out, and he had a knapsack on, and he took his knapsack off, and he put it on the floor, and as he put it on the floor, a little black plastic video cassette box fell out. And he saw it, and I saw it, and he looked at it, and I looked at it, and he looked at me, and when he looked at me, he was like a deer in headlights. But he was also aware that, you know, it's me, and I wasn't going to judge him, and I didn't care. You know, it's me. You know, so there we were. We were just, you know, talking about it. There were some tears, and he's, like, confessing his sins to the Lord again, and it's like, you know, I don't know what the deal is. I feel like I need to do better. I need to do better. I need to do better. And I'm like, it's okay. You know, I still love you. God still loves you. We're going to get through this thing. And we have this really good feeling like, okay, you know, God saved the day. He got there in the nick of time before you watched the movie. You know, it's cool. And then the next day, after all of that, he calls me on the phone and he's like, Frank, I'm an idiot. And I'm like, why? What's the matter? He goes, because after I left your house, instead of returning that video, I went straight home and I watched the movie. And he's like, what is wrong with me that I can't control this thing? What is wrong with me that I keep digging myself in the mud again and again and again and I can't get out? It's because despite the promise in the Word that there is no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus, we have become very adept at piling it on. We pile it on ourselves first, and then in our spare time, we pile it on our friends. Grace is what changes all of that. And I did not understand grace. Turn with me, if you have your Bible. If not, you could follow along to Ephesians chapter 2, starting in verse 1. This is going to be good stuff. Ephesians 2, 1. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, that's Satan, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our own flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. And here's the best word of the whole thing. But, verse 4, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and has seated us along with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. Where's it from? It's a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Ooh, not by works, so that no one can boast. It's a gift. It's a gift. And I used to believe that grace was the thing God gave us because we couldn't do it on our own. And so we needed to partake of as little grace as possible and do the rest ourselves because God wanted us to be obedient and righteous, and all those things. And so I wanted to appropriate as little possible grace as I could, and the rest I wanted to do on my own so I could please God. Well, this involved me living most of my life under condemnation, for one thing or another. Condemnation. Heaped it on myself, I had other people heap it on me, it was just a grand old time. But recently, I had a revelation, this got to me, and I'm like, you know what? He says that I'm righteous because of his grace. Wow. That means I don't actually have to be under this condemnation for 2 whole weeks. And so you know what I did? I reduced my condemnation time to about a week. I reduced my condemnation time to about a week, and I was like, this is much better. I only have to beat myself up for a week. I mean, 2 weeks is just far too long because, you know, there's grace after all. So maybe I can appropriate just an extra week of beating myself up. So then God revealed a greater aspect of his grace to me. And I realized, hey, I don't have to beat myself up for a week. I mean, 2 to 3 days is plenty. And, th- And this is, I mean, I'd sound like an idiot sharing this with you this way, but this was not happening consciously. What was going on is I was getting a greater revelation of His grace, and I'm realizing I'm feeling clean again after only 2 days. But then I woke up, and I saw what had been happening. I saw that I was under 2 week condemnation, then I was under 1 week condemnation, then I was on like a 3 day condemnation, and I was like, wait a minute here. When does this grace actually kick in? And the first place I went to was, you know what? It probably kicks in the moment I confess my sin. After I committed it and I asked His forgiveness, that's when it kicked in. That's when the grace kicks in. It's got to be it. I don't have to be under condemnation after I confess my sin. And then God blew on my mind through my wife and through some men of God. It was as if God said to me, you know what, Frank? I was slain before the foundations of the earth. Your sins, past, present, and future, are nailed to the cross. Your sins, not in part, but in whole. Not in part, but in whole, is nailed to that cross, and you bear it no more. So praise the Lord. So that's when I realized, even in the middle, even in the very act of a sin, God's grace is covering me. And when He looks at me, when God looks at me, when God looks at you, He doesn't ever see guilt. There's never a moment of condemnation from His perspective. There is no, He doesn't, it's not, a, it, this is not a complicated theological issue here. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. There's none. I had a real interesting revelation 2 weeks ago on Psalm 23. Psalm 23, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Question, how did He get to the shadow of death? How did He get the valley of the shadow of death? The psalmist there, how did He get to the valley of the shadow of death? How did He get there? He walked with His own 2 feet, with His very, very own feet. He walked into the valley of the shadow of death. It doesn't matter whether someone put you in a situation that caused you to fall into sin, or whether you walked yourself just right into the middle of temptation and then acted on it. It doesn't matter how you got there. Even when all of the blame lies squarely and solely on your shoulders, that you wanted to sin, you chose to sin, you planned to sin, you constantly got up that morning knowing you're going to sin, and then you acted on it. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will not fear, for You are with me. And His blood on the cross, which washes away our sin, not in part, but in whole, washes you. You got it? I'm not saying it's okay to go and sin now. I'm trying to tell you that even, you see, my wife puts it great. I think she got this from Andrew Womack. She says, if you're not preaching a grace that offends, you're not preaching grace. See, because people would have a problem with this. Can you not see people having a problem with this? I mean, grace is just so good. It's that good that you can say, you know what? I can sin. Not that God wants me to sin. Obviously, He doesn't. But the point I'm trying to drive home about the grace message is this. If you plan on sinning and you even go so far as to sin, God still sees you as innocent. Oh, you heretic. Grace. Don't you want to earn something, though? We're wired to want to earn something. God, I mean, God did create you to do great and wonderful things, but here's something. Paying for your sins is not one of those great and wonderful things. When I realized that no matter what I gave to God, I present myself to Him in my mess, in sin, in all my garbage, and in my own mind, not usable, not someone that God could bring anything out of. And He turns my little offering, my dirty little offering, into gold. He takes my 2 loaves and fishes, and He multiplies them. God will use even our trash, even our garbage He uses. He turns it into gold. He turns it into gold. You present yourself to Him, and He says, watch what I'll do, you perfect one. Watch what I can do, you who has no sin. Watch what I can do, you who are innocent in my sight. Watch what I can do with you. I'm like, wow. Lord, You can take my garbage and make gold out of it. Praise God. Oh, and then you know what I did? The very next thing, I say, wow, Lord, if you can make gold out of my garbage, I mean, imagine what happens when I finally get my act together and I start offering you silver. Then you could make some sort of, like, titanium gold or something out of that, couldn't you, Lord? And he's like, no. Your offering makes no difference on my ability to bring out awesomeness. What you give me has no bearing on what I can do with it. Your garbage, your mess, you could give me silver, I'll turn it to gold. You can give me garbage, I'll turn it to gold, because that's who I am and this is what I do. Wow, that's good, man. You can't stop the smiling of God's grace. However, I'm going to switch gears a little bit. As believers who love the Lord, we have a sense, what you should, have a sense that you were created to do great things. Okay, you were created, you're God's kids, you're his heirs, you're his co-laborers in Christ. We have a destiny on our lives as believers, okay? And sometimes, though, the enemy, Satan, can use this grace message to mess with your mind. You know, he can give you the thought like, well, God, if you've done everything already, you know, I guess there's nothing left for me to do. Look, there are a few things we can do nothing about. One of them is you can't do anything to increase God's affection for you. You can do nothing to increase his affection for you. You can do nothing to change his opinion of you. He sees you, he sees you're innocent. You're his child, and he loves you. You cannot increase or decrease his love for you because he loves you perfectly and eternally and immeasurably and ridiculously, and no sin and no mess can change that. You can't do anything to earn your way into heaven because it's already been done. Every effort you make is just wasted because the cross is there. Check this out. Philippians 3:7. This is Paul talking to the Philippians. He makes a list of all the great things that he's done that might make him worthy of salvation. And this is what he's talking about. He just finished making this list of all these great things, and this is where he starts. Philippians 3:7. But, I love that he's starting a sentence with but. That means everything he just said up to that point, forget about it. He basically made this list, like I was just explaining. All right, so, but whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. Which is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. Isn't that awesome? Everything is a loss. Everything he considers a loss. See, nothing I do, nothing I don't do, gives me a righteousness of my own. Let me skip down to Philippians 3:12, all right? I'm going to skip down to that. Not that I have already attained all this, or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Yay. So we have a calling to press on toward the prize which he's called us heavenward. The prize is not our salvation. The prize is not his affection. He's given us the things and you know, he's given us things. Oh, man, there's nothing we can do. Like, they are given to us, period. But we can do something. I don't want your understanding of grace to lead you into stagnation. See, because he's done so many amazing things, we should just stop and do nothing? No. There's a whole world out there filled with people who need to hear the good news. And you know what the good news is? The good news is that you don't need to do anything to come to Jesus. You don't need to change anything. You can come exactly the way you are and give yourself to him because he loves you without condition, without strings attached. That's the good news. And when we attach strings to the grace of God in our interactions with people, we're doing them a great disservice and we're dishonoring the Lord because he doesn't attach strings. Remember Jesus and the woman caught in adultery? I always bring this up. In the very act, she's caught in the very act of adultery. All right? Okay. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to have something tangible okay, that you can take away from this Godcast so that it doesn't just hit your ears as you're listening in your cubicle or in your car or whatever, okay? Here's the deal, people. Ready? I want us to adopt the attitude that Christ adopted for us so that when we see someone in their mess, the first place we go is not to judge them for what they're doing, but to love them and embrace them, because you know what? When you focus on sin and focus on sin and focus on sin, when you focus on your failure to stop looking at a porno website, it leads only to looking at 10 porno websites. When you focus on your failure to not having a drink at the bar on the way home from work, it only leads to having 10 drinks at the bar on the way home from work. Focusing on not sinning will always lead you to sin and then into guilt and condemnation. My friend Tim says it all the time. He always says what you focus on will get bigger, and it's the total truth. If you were instead able to walk knowing, like, hey, you know what, I dropped the ball, I missed the mark, but it doesn't change my status. It doesn't change my status before the Lord. It doesn't change His affection for me. It doesn't change the fact that I'm still innocent. Even in the middle of committing sin number one, I am innocent. And that way of thinking is what prevents sin number two. It's knowing that I am not condemned for sin number one. So this is what I want us to do. I want you to just take a second. I want you to close your eyes. If you're driving, do not close your eyes, okay? Remember Matthew 26:41. Watch and pray, okay? Drive and pray. Or pull over, then close your eyes. Put your hazard lights on or whatever, okay? All right, now close your eyes. I want you to ask God to show you whose issues, whose sins have offended you. Whose problems that they struggle with have offended you, or you haven't forgiven them, okay? I'm asking God to show you right now, each of you listening, a person who you're carrying an offense against. Maybe it's the way somebody dresses. Maybe the fact that they gossip and you've been offended at them. Now, if no one comes to mind, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. But if someone comes to mind, here's the next step. I want you to pray a blessing over them, and I want you to ask God how you can bring grace to them this week, because that's Christ's attitude toward them and their mess. It's grace. Grace. That is what will bring transformation. Your grace for them, your blessing toward them in the middle of their issues is going to be what brings change. You know, when I first thought about doing this subject for a Godcast, I had this thought. I wonder if a whole bunch of people are going to come up to me and bless me this week. Oh. Oh, man. So I'm going to end this Godcast by extending grace and a blessing to anyone in our life, my wife Christina and I, who has ever sown bitterness, gossip, and resentment toward us. We extend grace to you. If you have told lies or sown lies about us and our ministry, we extend grace to you. We hold nothing against anyone that has tried to bring harm to us. We release it all. And you know what? Because God's not holding it against you, neither will we. Now, listeners, appropriate that for the rest of your life. Extend grace to people. Don't bring condemnation anywhere because God's not bringing it. The full measure of God's wrath was poured out on Jesus on that cross. So until next week, stay blessed.
Thank you for listening to today's broadcast from A History with God Ministries. This teaching is a powerful ministry tool that you can use to experience the power of God in your life. Thank you again for listening and for helping us reach the world with the love of Jesus. Sign up for your free daily devotion today at ahistorywithgod.com and click on Contact. Type in your name and email address and you'll be all set. A History with God Ministries, seeing, hearing, remembering. Mark chapter 8, verse 18. Until next time, stay in the blessing.